Our Bible reading is Matthew chapter 28. That's found on page 1000 in the Church Bible. Page 1000 in the Church Bible, Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'"
Thank you very much, Eleanor. Good evening, everyone. Please do keep Matthew 28 open as we look together at this great commission. As we do so, let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would give us courage and strength to speak about what Jesus has done. Lord, we are so weak and we need your help. But we thank you that the Lord Jesus has all authority and he is with us always. So please would you help us to understand your word now to get our mission clear, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the term mission creep was first used by a journalist talking about the war in Somalia in the early 1990s. UN troops had gone in, they'd entered Somalia under an operation called Restore Hope. Their mission was to create a protected environment in the south of the country so humanitarian aid could get in to people that needed it. That was their mission: restore hope, create a protected environment, help the aid get in. However, the reality of the situation on the ground meant that gradually, subtly, things shifted, priorities changed. Some peacekeeping forces were killed, and the decision was taken to hunt down the killers. This led to more and more confrontation, then the need to work for long-term stability in Somalia. But then more attacks meant that in the end, the troops just withdrew, and the original mission, restore hope, create the protected environment, help the aid get in, well, that had not been successfully achieved. Why? Because the mission had crept. It had gone beyond its original design. It had escalated, expanded. It could no longer retain its focus. Well, it's been 4 years since we as Christchurch Banstead adopted our mission statement of go, win, and grow. We didn't just come up with this ourselves. It comes from the Great Commission we've just read in Matthew 28. Jesus himself gives us our mission, and that mission is to make disciples of Jesus. As we go to people that need to trust in Jesus, we tell them the good news about Jesus, we seek to win them as followers of Jesus as they are baptized and they declare their allegiance to Jesus, and we commit to grow disciples of Jesus as we teach followers of Jesus all that he's commanded us. And as we continue in this mission, what we want to avoid is that mission creep. We want to avoid a shift of priorities, however subtly, that will mean we end up not focusing on the thing that King Jesus has given us to do. Other things may well come along and compete for our focus as a church. We might feel pressure from people who don't follow Jesus, who like to think that a church like ours should be doing certain things in the community. Or we may look at other churches who have a different focus to us and be tempted to abandon this commission here in favor of whatever else seems to be trending elsewhere. But we need to stick to our mission, not avoid mission creep, not because we're boring or stuck in the past, but because for Jesus' church, mission creep is dangerous. If we allow the mission to creep, it will mean three things. It will mean, first of all, we're wasting some time and energy. We each have one life. Collectively as a church, we have limited time and resources. We don't want things to be wasted. If we let the mission creep, we will lack assurance, secondly, that we're doing the right thing. We'll see later that the Great Commission comes with special assurance from Jesus for those who go about it. We don't want to be focusing on something that doesn't come with this assurance. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, we won't be doing the best thing for lost people who are heading to a lost eternity. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And the best way we can love those around us who don't yet know Jesus is to carry out this commission and call them to bow the knee to Jesus before it's too late. So as we move, as we've thought about tonight, from Easter into this exciting term with great opportunities for outreach and evangelism, it's a good time to stop and ask again, what is our mission as a church? It's good to do that anyway from time to time as new people join Christchurch. Perhaps you've joined us in the last 4 years like I have, and it'd be good for you and me, along with everybody, to hear what we're about as a church, what our mission is. We're going to have a bit of a refresher of our mission from Matthew 28 together in two big points, and then we'll think about some of the implications for us as we seek to continue in it and avoid it creeping into other things. So we're just going to focus on these last three verses in Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. The Great Commission Jesus gives comes with some great assurances as well. We are to go and win and grow disciples of Jesus because Jesus has all authority and he is with us always. Let's look at those things in turn. Firstly, we go, win, and grow. That's the commission Jesus gives here, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The way this sentence, this language works here, is that making disciples is meant to be the verb with the highlighter pen over it. That's the main thing going on in the sentence, making disciples. Going, baptizing, teaching, they all support that main doing word of making disciples. We've tried to reflect that in our mission statement as Christ Church. We talk about making disciples of Jesus. That's the headline, as we go, win, and grow. But you may ask, out of all the things written down for us in the Bible, why do we choose this verse as our mission? Why is the Great Commission our focus as a church? You could well read the Bible and pick out any number of good things that God tells his people to do at any given time in his dealings with them. So how is it fair to narrow it down to just this set of instructions here, these few verses? Well, Jesus is the key to answering that question. Because in Jesus we see the fulfillment of all God's plans to save people from their sin and to bring them into his kingdom. So as we read maybe earlier parts of the Bible, earlier stages in God's plan, his mission to save people, we can't just sort of pluck out what he said to his people back then and then presume that we've got to do the same thing today without referring to Jesus. So let me give you an example. We can't read in Genesis about God's design for his people to be a blessing to the nations, like the Lord said to Abraham, without realizing that it's only really Jesus who brings God's blessing to people today. So it's not just about dishing out nice blessings to people, but it's actually pointing them to Jesus. It's only Jesus who, under his rule, people can find life and be truly blessed today. So the best thing we can do is to make disciples of Jesus so that they know God's blessing. Neither can we confuse the things that only God does with the thing that he asks us to do as his people. So as we read through the gospel accounts like Matthew or Mark, like we've been doing in our small and local groups this year, we see all that Jesus does in proclaiming the truth about who he is, what he's come to do. He heals people, he works great miracles and signs. They reveal his identity as the Messiah. And supremely, he and he alone goes to the cross, bearing our sins in his body, takes the hell that they deserve before being raised to life again. Only he does that. And following his resurrection, before he ascends to his Father, he gives this commission to his followers. Disciples of Jesus are to make more disciples of him. That's what King Jesus wants us to do in the light of all that he has done. We're not to confuse his work with our work. We're not called to sort of reenact the Gospels like those people do with battles of old, thinking that the way we coax people into God's kingdom is by miracles and healings and signs and wonders. By the way, not everyone who saw Jesus perform signs and wonders believed in him. This is not a sort of cooperative between God and us. In that sense, we're not called to partner with what God is doing in the world, but to proclaim what God has done in Jesus. He sent his Son to be the Savior of all who will bow the knee to him. God's plan for reaching the nations centers upon Jesus. And Jesus himself explicitly gives his followers this commission, what they are to be about until the end of the age. So that includes us today. The mission hasn't changed. But you might say, well, can't we just sort of love our neighbor and be nice Christians and do good things in the world and, you know, campaign for the right things that will just make the world a better place for humanity? Do we really have to make disciples of Jesus, call people to follow him? Well, let me explain why that the answer to that question is yes, we do. Because it is wonderful how the gospel does change people. And it follows that as people changed by the gospel, as Christian believers, we will be living lives in the world that show the goodness of what God has done for us in Christ. His character should be evident in the way we go about our lives, the way we love our neighbors, the way we seek to do good to all. And what that does for people, as well as helping them and being a blessing to them now in their need, is that it gives them a little glimpse, a little window into what life will be like in God's new creation, in the new world. Because God has begun that new creation in the hearts of his people, and we're wanting to express that in the way we live, the way we love others and serve them. But as great as that glimpse is for people, as great as that window into God's new humanity is, what we really want for people is to know that they belong to that new humanity under Christ, So they need to hear the gospel. They need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Getting people to this new creation, avoiding the alternative of eternal judgment for their sins, this should be our primary focus. As Christians, we believe there is something worse than death, and there's something greater than human flourishing. We've been reading a book as an oversight team called What is the Mission of the Church? It's a great book by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. Here's what they write about this. The most important thing we can say about the new heavens and the new earth is that they are only to be obtained by those who have been redeemed through the blood of the resurrected Lord Jesus. Therefore, even if we could wrap an entire city in God's peace and wholeness and push it over the threshold of eternity, the citizens of that city would not go with it unless they had heard from our lips and believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's why we take this commission seriously and seek to make more disciples of King Jesus, that they too might be saved. But what's involved in this disciple making? Three things that you may know off by heart if you've been coming to Christchurch for a while: going, winning, and growing. Go, win, and grow. Let me run through those briefly. First of all, go. We see that here. Therefore, go and make disciples. This doesn't mean that all of us need to be somewhere else and go somewhere different in order to carry out this commission, to move abroad or to a different part of the country. God might call some of us to do that at different points in our lives. Do come and chat to a church leader here if you do think God is calling you to do that. But for the majority of us, we can still go where we are, because going in this context is about being active and intentional in the task of making disciples wherever God has placed us. How can you live in a way that creates opportunities to speak of Jesus and to call people to follow him? What will you say when somebody asks you, what did you do at the weekend? We each have a part of the field that God wants us to labor in for his glory. How will you go there with purpose this week, seeking to share Jesus? And this term, as we build up to Open Week 2, going, that there's winning as well. We read later on, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is our winning section. What we're aiming at with this great commission is for people not just to hear about Jesus as we go to them and tell them, but for them to become committed followers of Jesus, to be one to him, expressed in a declaration of faith at baptism. So this means that going and seeking opportunities, that's not the sum total of the commission. We can't tick the big box and say we've done that. We know, as we've heard earlier, none of us can save anyone. But we want to be committed to helping people explore the good news about Jesus in a way that means they'll be confronted with a choice. That we've explained the gospel to them, that they bow the knee to King Jesus and become his, or they continue to reject him and face the consequences. So are we willing to help people with the questions that they have, seeking opportunities to really sit down with people and explain the gospel, helping them even count the cost of what it would look like for them to follow Jesus? Are we ready to win people? Go, win, and grow. Thirdly, each of these elements of the commission are all about Jesus. We want to go and win people to Jesus, and then we want to be as committed to teaching people all that Jesus has commanded us. Now, you don't have to be an upfront teachery type to do that. We all, as disciples, fulfill this part of the commission in different ways as we get alongside one another, as we show one another from God's word what it looks like to follow Jesus, as we model what that Christian life looks like to others. You'd be surprised the amount of people that look to you for examples in that. And we're committed as a church to teach everyone, from young to old, all that Jesus has commanded us, his people, so that we become mature disciples of Jesus, so that we make it across the finish line to that glorious resurrection and new creation. That's our task, that's our commission, to make disciples as we go, win, and grow. But how are we able to carry it out? Why are we to carry it out? What do these verses say about the basis and the foundation of this mission? Well, secondly, as you'll see on the screen, we go, win, and grow because Christ has all authority and is with us always. That's the second point. Do you notice as we read just that last paragraph there, that commission comes in the middle of the paragraph, and then the brackets either side, you have these two extraordinary statements from Jesus that fuel and drive our mission. So you've got verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then halfway through verse 20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus Christ has all authority and he is with us always. Let's look at those two things in turn. Firstly, all authority. The fact that Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth means that despite what many people in the world would say, it means that it's not arrogant or exclusivist to call people everywhere to submit to Jesus as king, to trust in him, to come to him, confess their sins to him, and find their rebellion against him forgiven. Even atheists, even those of other religions and other cultures and other lifestyles. For all these people, indeed all people, Jesus and only Jesus is worthy of their worship. We got a glimpse of worshipping here, didn't we, after the resurrection. We saw, where was it earlier? They fell at his feet, verse 9, and worshipped him. When they saw him, verse 17, they worshipped him. That's the right response to God's Messiah. I hope you're a worshipper of Jesus and bow your heart before him and seek to serve him. He is worthy. And that means we can go and legitimately call other people to bow to him. Others who need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord now, when they will be saved by his grace, before they must bow the knee when he comes as judge. Jesus is the goal of our mission. He has all authority. So we boldly call others to become committed worshippers of Jesus, otherwise known as disciples. Okay, you might say that gives me a little bit of courage and confidence, but it still sounds quite scary, especially in today's environment of politics and hate crimes and free speech and social media and a general attitude of who are you to tell me what I should do? Well, we have the second comfort and encouragement to help us on with that Jesus, secondly, is with us always. "Surely I am with you always," he says, "to the very end of the age." Jesus promises his empowering presence with us all our days as we seek to make more disciples. So whether we feel like God is with us on a particular day or not, we read here that he promises to be with us. But note something that I flagged up earlier at the start. This promise of God's presence comes at this point when he gives his disciples the Great Commission. Yes, we know and are blessed by the truth that God is always with us as his people, by his Spirit dwelling in us. But this special reassurance here of Jesus' presence with us is meant to be heard by those who are going about the work of making disciples. That's when we can claim this promise of Jesus being with us always in this task to the end of the age. We are to make disciples of Jesus Christ as we go, win, and grow. We do this confidently knowing that Christ has all authority and is with us always. So what does this mean for us as we seek to put it into practice and avoid mission creep? I've got six little nuggets to throw out there by way of implications and applications. They're not particularly profound things, but I think they're helpful to point out as we see what carrying on this mission will look like for us. First of all, what does this mission cause us to do? Well, it makes us, first of all, humble. We are not the ones who have any power to save sinners or to create new life. We can't save the world. This means that we go about this commission humbly, particularly in humble dependence upon God in prayer, like we've talked about already tonight. So easy, isn't it? Particularly if you're a doer, to throw yourself into things and say, yeah, great commission, yeah, love it, let's do it. But we can so easily fail to depend on God in prayer or to plead with him to open people's eyes, to ask him for boldness to speak about Jesus. So let's realize who this commission depends on. Let's in humility pray to our Father in heaven. Take the guide from Spotlight with you. Pray for those people. Come to the half night of prayer for Open Week, 13th of June, I think it is, Thursday before Open Week. Come and pray. Listen to this morning's sermon in Romans 9 if you weren't here today. We were encouraged to mourn over the lost who are outside of Christ. That mourning drives us to prayer and to proclaim the gospel. So this Great Commission makes us humble prayers. It also makes us, secondly, urgent. We can't save anyone ourselves, but we do have the message that saves, and we need to get it to people. So as we've already thought and written down, who will we invite to church or Open Week or an event this term? Who will you talk to about your hope in Jesus when times are tough? Who will you seek to love and befriend and get to know and share the gospel with? It's so easy to look round at church on Sunday. I think prime example was last Sunday morning, Easter Sunday. The church was heaving, the building was packed, and we think and sit back, oh, this is nice. Do we really need to be that urgent? Church was packed. It's great. It's like, what more do we need? Well, picture this for a moment. Imagine if over the next year, God graciously opened people's hearts in Banstead to respond to the gospel. And in a year's time, there were enough new Christians, if we put out all the blue chairs in this room, there were enough new Christians for them to each have a blue chair here, to pack them all in here. If we all came and stood up on this stage and looked out at them, imagine that there were that amount of new Christians in Christchurch by this time next year. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? But you know, that would be roughly 1% of the population of Banstead Village. Brings it home, doesn't it? How will these people hear? How will they believe unless they hear the gospel? Will we take them the good news about Jesus? It's an urgent task. Great Commission also, thirdly, helps us to be clear. When we get a new idea of something we think church maybe should be doing, it's good to ask, how will this help us fulfill the Great Commission? How will it help us make disciples? It's good to evaluate what we already do along these lines too. If you're involved in serving in a ministry in Christchurch, let me encourage you to regularly think about how it connects with our mission of going and winning and growing disciples. We may even need to park some stuff that may be good and commendable, but it's taking resources away from where we could be more effectively making disciples. So being clear on what Jesus has called us to do really helps us with all sorts of decisions in church life, from what we spend money on, what staff we appoint, what leaders we seek to raise up. But also being clear can be really positive and encouraging and unifying for us, even in the smallest of tasks in church life, as we join the dots to what we are doing as our mission. You may have heard the story of John F. Kennedy getting a tour of the Space Center that would be named after him. And he saw an ordinary cleaner at work, and he asked him what he was doing. And the man replied, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon." In what small ways are we helping to make disciples? Being clear that that's our mission helps us with those ordinary tasks. Why are you welcoming someone on the door? Why are you putting out the chairs? Why do you help clean the church? Why are you setting up for a group? Why are you taking an evening out to plan or to meet with your team? Why am I getting up early again to teach kids about Jesus? join the dots and be clear. So you can say, I'm doing this so that this happens, so that that event goes ahead, so that these people hear about Jesus, so that we carry on making disciples as Jesus told us to do. Great Commission helps us to be clear. It also helps us, fourthly, to be committed, because it takes us beyond just being interested in bums on seats or numbers or decisions to follow Jesus. We want to make disciples. That means we want to be committed to people, both to win them to Christ and for their growth as followers of Christ. That's why we run follow-up courses after Open Week, and we run them again after that and after that. You know, people have become Christians in this church in the last year or two through the perseverance and commitment of people giving them time to hear the gospel, to answer their questions, and to commit to walking with them as they take those new steps of faith. The Great Commission makes us committed. It also makes us wise planners, fifthly. Do you know the story of the three men trying to move a large telegraph pole from one end of the town to the other end? These men struggle to move this huge great pole. Gradually, more and more passers-by stop, and they lend them a hand, and then some get tired and they drop off, and including one by one, the original three men. And before they know it, people are walking around with this huge great pole, not knowing where it's going or where to put it. Well, carrying on with our mission will mean taking time to train and raise up leaders who understand our mission, who are equipped to lead areas of church life that help us make more disciples. We're not just in the business of asking for help because we're tired and we need help to take over. Yes, we do need servants, but we want to be wise in the way we plan and pass on our mission, not just in our local church, but as we partner with gospel workers around the world as well. Well, lastly, the Great Commission also makes us hopeful. Mission sounds exciting now to us as we're reading about it here, but out there it sounds foolish to the world, and they're going to tell us so at one point or another. Or maybe other groups will come along and seem to promote a more trendy, socially acceptable version of Christianity. They might claim a great inside track to God with healings or miracles, and they wow people into God's kingdom, and we'll think, oh, is Jesus really with us down here in the slog of making disciples? And the answer is yes. We've seen that here. The promise of God's presence is here with the humble, dependent, persevering, urgent disciple makers who are clear on their mission. Maybe hard to see results sometimes, and it is hard labor most of the time, but it is eternally worth it. So we do not despair. We take the knockbacks and are resilient. When we want to give up and yet we know we should invite that person or share the gospel with them, but we feel too scared, what do we think then? Jesus has all authority. He is with us always. He is ruling and reigning. And we want them to bow the knee to Jesus too. So even as we open our mouth and say something we wish we'd thought about a bit better and phrased a bit better about us being a Christian and inviting them to church, Jesus is ruling and reigning. He has all authority. He is with us always. We can carry out this commission in hope. People will come and bow the knee. So let's stick to the mission, not let mission creep set in. We have the greatest commanding officer in King Jesus. Our job is to proclaim him. We have his authority and his presence with us, and we go gladly to make more disciples. Let's pray. Let's just take a couple of minutes to reflect. Maybe think about just what one thing you will do this term that will mean you can faithfully carry out the Great Commission where God has put you. It could be a person you need to pray for, share the gospel with, invite along. It could be a one-to-one commitment to help somebody to grow. It could be a giving of time to a particular ministry or Open Week. Could be knocking something else out of the diary so there is time. Could just be a recommitment to persevere in the things you're involved in that make disciples, despite weariness and struggles, because Christ has all authority and is with us always. Let's take a moment and then I'll lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that your Son Christ has done for us. And we pray that our life's refrain would be delighting to live for Christ, knowing that to die is gain. Help us, we pray, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Son, and to call others to follow him too. In Jesus' name, amen.